Let's go forth in our lesson. The lesson tonight is entitled, A Resurrection Gift, Peace. A resurrection gift, His peace. Luke 24, verse 36. A resurrection gift, His peace. Listen to what Luke says in the post-resurrection narrative. And as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. A resurrection gift. Peace. This word peace means a quietness, a stillness. It means to be one again. The idea of being in union with God. God didn't create us to be disjointed, to be disconnected from Him, to be discombobulated, to be diseased. So this word peace conveys the idea that a person is back where he or she belongs in contentment, in security, in assurances with the Father. This word peace means all is well. The first time this word peace comes from the lips of Jesus is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus has finished choosing his 12 and he's giving them their first set of instructions. Included in the instructions are the words in this 34th verse of Matthew 10, where Jesus tells them, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. It's the same word he speaks tonight when he says peace. Now let me hasten to dispel any thoughts that Jesus is advocating a violent military posture. He is not. Jesus is telling his disciples that his way of life, his teachings, will cause persons to choose sides. His truth or the way of the world. And that challenge will set members of the same household at odds. Another time he uses the word peace, the same word in Luke 24:36, is in Mark 5:34, where Luke talks about a woman who had reached out, touched Jesus, and she was bold enough to come to him, trembling in fear. But she tells the whole truth, and to her, Jesus says, go in peace, be freed from your suffering. Now, that's the word, the image of that word that Jesus speaks in our lesson today. Peace be unto you. Now, there's another word for peace. That comes from the lips of Jesus throughout the gospel. And that word means just silence, hush, and involuntary stillness. That word, peace, makes you think about a person who just stops moving around and he has peace. It had nothing to do with his state of mind, his calmness of thought, her rest from fears. He or she is just stationary, just still. It's kind of like calling a timeout for our kids. You know, kids can get hyper, bounce all over the place, and we have to threaten them and tell them to chill and be still for 5 minutes and don't move and don't even breathe hard. There's a sense in which they are at peace. But you do know that doesn't stop the rush in their thoughts or their intent to resume when the 5 minute timeout is over. The most famous spot of this second word for peace is in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, where Jesus speaks to the wind and he says, "Peace, be still." No assurance that the wind was not going to start up later on, but for the time being, there is peace. So, we have peace as a silence, as a hush, a temporary restraint on the condition. And then we have peace as a quietness that joins one back to the Creator's design in the beginning. So what do you think Jesus is declaring in this post-resurrection episode? Does he want his followers to just stop their jitters for the time being? Or does he speak peace as an impartation to them to embrace the fullness of God's design for a life to be quiet from within? Not for the moment, like hyper kids have to take time out, but for the rest of one's life, Jesus wants there to be a quietness from within. So he says to his followers, after he rises from the grave, peace be unto you. Number one, the risen Lord knows the condition our condition is in. I thought about that. That's a phrase from an old song. I just found out, or just stopped by, or just to know what condition my condition is in. The Lord knows the condition our condition is in. I said on Sunday, we must never allow the past, people, or problems to numb us to the degree that we begin to feel that the Lord does not know. He knows all things. Nobody had to tell Jesus where to find the disciples. He knew they were on the Emmaus Road. He knew they were locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And he also knew some of them and even went back fishing. So he knows where to find us. He cannot help us if he does not know where to find us. Psalm 139 and 2 says this, "Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Doesn't that cover it all? Where I park myself, where I drive myself, and what I'm thinking at all points in between. The Lord knows the condition our condition is in. because he is spirit. And that's why he can be here, there, and everywhere. Peace be unto you. Here's a second golden thought. We're only as effective in our life as we are full of his peace. Now, these disciples, they weren't being effective in this verse. They were not putting to use any of their 3-year training. So, the impartation of peace goes forth, and it makes the difference in the rest of their life, because he quiets their spirits. He sets them at one again. Now, we've lived long enough to know that it's difficult, if not impossible, to be impactful and effective in anything if one's mind, one's spirit, one's thoughts, and one's feelings are all over the place. That's really the definition of worry, to be pulled in multiple directions. But oh, tonight, his peace commands all of our scattered energy to come to a oneness and be his again. Otherwise, disciples are getting ready for a life of confusion and lack of direction. But aren't you glad that when he says, peace be unto us, that effectiveness starts to take place? We're told in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 that God is not the author of confusion, but of, there's that word again, peace. We cannot operate in what we do not possess. My God, you got to have it in order to do it. Jesus gives them the greeting he knows they so desperately needs to hear. Words that calm them inwardly. Words that set them on the path. Now, they're still struggling. He speaks to them. He eats with them. He spends 40 days with them. They come to realize that they'll be all right when he departs on that cloud. They can operate without him before their eyes because they've been given a gift, a resource that they can take with them wherever they go. Peace be unto you. And then finally, this evening, nobody can take his peace out of your life. John 14:27. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Since no one can take it, don't you give it up. If it is precious enough for him to give it, then it's precious enough for us to keep it and guard it. My God, I feel like saying that again. If his peace is precious enough for him to give it, then it's precious enough for you and me to keep it and to guard it. Because peace, like any resource the Lord gives, is a target of Satan. Because Satan is a thief. And we're told in John 10:10 that the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Don't you let him get to the gift that you've been given. Guard it with your whole heart. Guard it with your prayer. Guard it with your worship. Guard it with your walk. Guard it with your serving. Hallelujah. There's a lot of rumbling, a lot of noise, a lot of chaos, a lot of controversy, a lot of tension, a lot of protests in our world, in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our homes, relationships, in our spouses, and our children, and the personal loads we carry. But hallelujah, we can make it. The disciples made it because Jesus has risen and he gives us peace. We can make it. The disciples did after that day. And don't you know that the longer we stay with Jesus, the more precious peace is in one's life. Blessed be the name of Jesus. So he says to them, peace be unto you. He says to us, peace be unto us. And you need to say it to yourself, peace be unto me. This is the word of faith which I teach tonight. His resurrection gift. Peace. Hallelujah.